Great to be back again. I was away a few weeks ago, got back into town, got sick, missed another Sunday. Last week I was back, but it's nice to actually be back up here. It's actually been, I think, over a month since I've actually preached. It's feeling a little weird to actually sit up here again and open God's Word with you, but excited about this time that we have together as we change our focus a little bit and open up God's Word together and listen to what He would say to us today. Like I said, I was away a couple weeks ago, and I was away in Toronto, or just north of Toronto in the Muskoka area, if you know that area at all. We were at Muskoka Woods Sports and Youth Camp up there, which is a great Christian camp up there. They host thousands of kids through the summertime. They host all sorts of conferences through the wintertime, and they have a place at Muskoka Woods Camp that was called the Leadership Studio where we were meeting for our Aero class. This is just over a year-long process that I'm doing that has three times that we go away for a residential with our cohort together, 24 of us all together. And we go and travel to, the first one was at Keats Island in October. This one was at Muskoka Woods last month. And then our next one will be September back at Keats Island again at Camp Barnabas. This is our class. I don't know how well you can see us all there. Our class as well as our leadership partners. So there's around 30 or so of us in that picture. I'm in the back, in case you care. That's me. But it was a great experience, and I was fortunate this past week to be able to share with our men's breakfast group a little bit of what I experienced while I was at Aero, some of the things that we're learning and they're teaching us, and some of the work they're doing to really form the heart of all of us as leaders, which is a huge part of what leadership is about, not just skill development, but really actually shaping our hearts as leaders who lead others and care for others. And, you know, so I went to this second residential with certain expectations, right? Every time you go away to something like this, you have expectations of what it's going to be like. The first residential for me, as I've shared previously, was a really deeply moving and emotional and just crazy experience. And I realized in October how incredibly wiped out I was and that I didn't realize how I was just running on fumes. And God started an incredible work of healing in my heart at that residential, that week away in October, that really has carried on since. And so what happened was, as I was getting ready to go to the second residential, I was all excited because I was thinking, this is great. Last time I was just totally wiped out and it was a really raw, raw experience. This time I'm like way better. And so it's going to be all these great things I'm going to get to learn. It's going to be fantastic. I'm just so looking forward to it. Got out to Aero. It was so great to see everyone again, just reconnect, hear people's stories of what's happened over the last 6 months, all that stuff. And then we got into the week, and there was some great teaching, and we had a soul care day in the middle that was fantastic of just quiet time listening to God on our own. If you've never done a couple hours in total silence and solitude, a little weird, but incredible. But anyways, we had all these different things. We got to the last full day of our Aero residential while we were there out at Muskoka Woods. And on that last day, something really kind of just changed for me. I'd been feeling throughout the week how things had been a little bit off. And I can't really explain to you fully what that means, other than, you know, you're kind of just in an experience and you're enjoying things, but something isn't quite right. Can't necessarily name it. You don't know what it is, but it doesn't feel right. And I remember feeling that kind of throughout the week with a whole bunch of different things. But the night before and then our last full day there, there was a couple experiences that really pushed me to go, I need to figure out what this thing is. I need to know what's going on. And through a couple conversations, through some time in prayer, there was a couple different instances. One was a dream that I really felt God pushing me to do two different things. One thing was related to just how the community had been feeling that week, and it just felt a little bit disconnected. And so one of the things that I really felt God saying that I needed to do was in some way talk to our group, the whole cohort, about what I'd been feeling and also deal with my part in how I felt the community had kind of been off that week, which I had to own some stuff that I had been holding and some judgmental attitudes that I had been harboring. And I had to do that in front of a group of people who are my peers, which doesn't feel particularly comfortable. But I felt very clearly that God was prompting me and pushing me, saying, you need to go do this. That was one thing. The other piece was related to the dream, which had to do with one of the people in my cohort and wanting to be able to talk to him about some issues and stuff and maybe just encourage him or I don't know. I didn't even know what to do with the dream, to be honest with you. But through some other conversations, I really felt, again, I need to actually talk to him somehow about this. And so I was left with a choice in both of those instances. In feeling this week kind of just being a little bit off, but really loving all the stuff I was doing, I was left with a choice of, am I going to stand up and do what God is asking me to do? Or am I going to kind of dismiss it and say, you know, it's probably not that big a deal. It's just me. I'll just let it go. All of us, at some point or other, are going to be confronted with whether or not we will take a stand for God. Whether we will choose to stand up for what we believe he is saying to us, for what we believe he has told us about himself, for what, you know, for who he is, or if we're going to choose to not stand up and just let it go. All of us are going to face that at some point. It's a story, really, of the Christian church throughout history. You can track it back. You know, it's actually written about in the book of Hebrews. I should have actually marked this before. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about this. People who had a choice of what they were going to do, whether they'd stand up for God or not. And this is some of the stuff that happened to the people who chose to stand up for God. Where are we here? Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. This is the story of the church. We don't always feel it here in North America. We get it a little more comfortable out here. But the reality is, throughout history, people have been challenged and sometimes even killed for taking a stand for God. It's still happening today. In fact, Pope Francis was giving an address around Easter, and he talked about the fact that as much as there was a lot of persecution of Christians in the first century, and you can read about that historically, you can read about how Nero would put Christians on stakes and burn them like candles in his garden parties. In the deleted scenes of the movie Gladiator, if you've ever watched the deleted scenes, you see Christians getting fed to the lions in the Colosseum, because that was a part of our history. But as much as it happened way back in the first century, as Pope Francis noted, it's happening in more numbers and in more abundance today than it was then. We don't see it. We get to come to church here and it's comfy. We don't have armed men walking in threatening us. Although if we do, we have a contingency plan. I understand there's a couple guys who are going to take them out, so it's okay. Thanks for that, Gary, by the way. But I think we're getting all too familiar with the images that we're seeing on the news of hooded men dressed in black standing behind a row of guys in orange coveralls kneeled on the ground in front of them, knowing what's going to happen because they chose to stand up for their faith. This is not an ancient problem. This is a current issue. That we are called in some way, at some point in our life, to stand up for God. It may not be as dramatic as that. It may not be at the choice of are you going to live or die, depending on what you're going to do with this choice. But we're all faced with the choice of will we choose to stand for what we believe God is asking us to do in a given moment? Whether it's to stand up to people who are mocking our faith or calling something down about what we believe, or whether it's, you know, to stand up for mercy and justice because we know that's what God calls us to. We all, at some point, are called to take a stand. And so, I want to ask you today, when have you been called to take a stand for God? When have you actually stood up and said, I am going to do what I believe God is asking me to do, that I'm going to do the thing that I know is the right thing to do because this is what God is about? When have you been called to actually take a stand for God, to go out and do something that he's asking you to do, to say something he's asking you to say, to be involved in people's lives where you know he's asking you to go? Last week was a totally awesome Sunday. We had our sharing time during the service, and there were so many fantastic stories shared. One of them being, Larry got up here and shared with us about what he and Sandy are going to be doing. They've been praying and trying to discern God's call for, man, how long has it been? A couple of years, right? You guys have been looking at this. And waiting on Mercy Ships, the organization, to have positions available for them to go and to serve on a more full-time basis. And there was an opportunity that came up, and now, within a couple months, you guys are going. You guys are going. You guys are abandoning the American dream of working all the way, saving for retirement, doing all the things you're supposed to do when you retire and doing all those things, and you're putting all that aside to go and serve God where God's called you to go because you believe that that's where he wants you to go. You're taking a stand against what our culture would say is normal and right and saying, but we believe God has asked us to go, which is awesome. There are many stories of people within our church family I know who have similarly chosen to set aside what the world would say you should do for work and career advancement and climbing the corporate ladder and set it aside because they believe God has called them to a different kind of life. Whether working with at-risk youth, whether working with incredibly at-risk people, whether working with kids in schools, wherever it is, taking a stand because we believe this is what God is saying. It doesn't even have to be that big where you change your whole life for. It could be that moment at school where you stand up for someone because you see them getting bullied. And you know God stands for mercy and justice, and so you stand up for them. When have you taken a stand for God? Well, this week, we're talking about taking this stand. And one of the things about following Jesus, if you haven't discovered this yet, you're going to come across it at some point. When you follow Jesus, you will face opposition for following him. I know some of you are going, and? Yeah, I know. I know, because you faced it. If you choose to follow Jesus with your life, if you choose to go on his path, you are going to face opposition. It is not negotiable. That's really not a popular part of the Christian message, by the way. It's not the one we usually advertise. We usually talk a lot about Jesus' love and mercy and grace and how if you come to know him, everything will get better because he's going to really love you and forgive you and everything will go well. That's great. And there's a lot of truth to that. But we kind of skip the part where we go, and when you follow him, it means you get to count the cost of following him daily because it's going to cost you. We forget the part where Jesus himself said to his disciples, by the way, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Not a rose garden all the time. You're going to have trouble. Following Jesus is not just easy and all good. Trouble will come. We will face opposition. Now, if you were watching AD this week, the Bible continues, you would have seen a great episode about the trouble that came to two of Jesus' followers, Peter and John, because they chose to stand up for the message that Jesus was about. They chose to stand up for the name of Jesus of Nazareth in the face of opposition from the religious authorities, in the face of all the unrest going on in Jerusalem with all the Roman tension and everything else happening. They chose to stand up because they believed that what Jesus said was right. So we have a clip from that now that we're going to show you, just a little clip from this past week's episode of AD and Peter and John taking a stand.
Tell us, in whose name do you claim the cripple was healed?
Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified.
Do you say the Nazarene himself healed him, not God?
I say he was healed by God in the name of Jesus Christ, whom God resurrected from death.
You liars! There was no healing, only deception. We know that this miracle was nothing more than theater,
with actors playing roles to falsely glorify their dead Nazarene.
What do you think happened? If you haven't watched it yet, you got to catch up. You can check it out on CTV Go app. You can check it out on ctv.ca. I think you can even find it on YouTube. But check it out. It's, yeah. We're going to spoil the story for you, though, today. Just, you know, in case you haven't seen it yet, we're still going to spoil it. Because we're going to read this morning from Acts chapter 4. that recounts the events that were portrayed in this latest episode of AD. And we're going to read it out and just enter into this story of what Peter and John faced as they came before the religious authorities and as they faced opposition. But just as we get ready to read that, let's just pray, and we're going to ask God to speak to us through his word today, that we'd be able to hear from him what he has to say to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. Thank you that you didn't paint an overly rosy picture of what it means to follow you, but you let us know that it would come with opposition. I just pray, Lord, that as we read the account of what happened with Peter and John, Lord, we would be encouraged. We'd be encouraged to choose to stand. And so, Lord, as we read this, we just pray you would open up our eyes to see in the text the things that we need to see today. Lord, open up our ears to hear your Holy Spirit whisper into each one of us. Open up our minds to understand what it is that you'd want to say, and give us hearts that are so willing and ready to respond to you, to get past our own pride, our own deception, and just be open to respond to you, whatever it is you're asking of us today. So we just pray these things and ask that we would hear your voice instead of mine today. Amen. All right. Well, so from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, if you want to open up your tablet, phone, Bible, app, whatever you need to do to get there, we'll have it on the screen for you as well as we read this together. It is a bit of a long text, just so you know, so stay with me. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Never mind the women and children who were around too. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." They made the choice to stand. And we're going to have a look at how they chose to actually make that choice, how they chose to stand, and also what God did with it as a result. You know, anytime we kind of walk into one of these circumstances, anytime we're faced with opposition, we are faced with a choice. It's a choice to either compromise or to stand up. It's a choice to kind of just dismiss it, or to actually take a stand for what we know is right. That choice, though, when you think about, well, let's break it out into those two parts, right? If we choose and we're thinking about the side of compromise, that choice can be really subtle, can't it? Maybe we just don't want to be seen as some kind of fanatic. We don't want to be this crazy person for Jesus, right? We want to fit in a little bit. Maybe it's a matter of just seeing life start to take over because, man, we're busy. We got lots of things on the go. Have so many concerns. We're trying to make sure we can balance our finances with calendars, with activities, with stuff we need to do. It's just so tough to find balance that I don't have time for that right now. Maybe we're hedging our bets. If you watch this episode, you would have caught what happened with Ananias and Sapphira, who chose to hedge their bets. Just in case this doesn't work out, I want to know I'm going to be okay. So we choose to compromise. Just subtle, it's just little choices, little steps, to choose to not take a stand for God. Maybe it's because we don't understand what the outcome is going to be. We can't predict where this is all going to wind up. So it's really hard to say, and we just don't want to take that chance. Maybe it's because we don't want to experience the pain of what it's going to mean to us personally. Because if we stand up, we know it's going to hurt. It would have been really easy for Peter and John to back down at the threat of further pain and beatings and imprisonment. It would have been really easy for them to say, you know what? Fair enough, we're not going to teach the name of Jesus anymore. Because we're fearing for our own safety here. But they decided to be all in for Jesus. Now, I don't want you to answer this out loud, but let me just ask the question. When have you compromised and you know it? And I'm not saying it to beat you up, okay? I just want to be clear on that. I'm not saying I've hit this one out of the park, you know, and I'm all good on all this. But when have we chosen to compromise? We're faced with a choice of whether we will stand up for God or not, and we know clearly that we have chosen the road of compromise. Maybe for what seemed like really good reasons at the time. It's not an easy space to be in when we're faced with opposition for what we believe. And there is forgiveness for those choices we've made to compromise. And there is a better way to choose. And that is to choose to stand. To choose to stand. Peter and John, when you think about their choice to stand up for what they believed in, their choice was really based on a strong foundation they had. And their strong foundation was the person of Jesus Christ. It wasn't a religion. It wasn't a belief in something. It was actually a relationship with the living Jesus Christ. They had been with him. They walked with him. They had heard his voice. They knew him. It was because of him that they were willing and able to stand up. It was because of the Holy Spirit that had dwelt in Jesus and now was dwelling in them that they were able to stand up and have boldness. They had a firm foundation rooted in Jesus Christ himself. And so when you think about us making a choice to either stand or to compromise, one of the biggest things of helping us make that choice to stand is if we are rooted firmly in the person of Jesus Christ. We talk about this all the time. Deeper roots in Jesus. Deeper roots in Jesus. Deeper roots in Jesus. Why do we talk about that? Because that's the most important thing. It makes a difference for everything else you're going to do in life. It'll make a difference when you face opposition. It'll make a difference when you're faced with a difficult decision. And it's something that we can do. We can build into that. We can't add anything onto that foundation, but we can certainly strengthen that foundation as we get to know him more. Peter and John had a strong foundation in Jesus Christ. And so as a result, one of the things I love the most about this story, we didn't actually read it. You got to keep reading. A little further down, after they get released by the religious authorities and they go back to the house where everyone's staying and they're celebrating there and they're praying and they're praying to God about all this stuff that's going on and they're praying about the threats they're receiving. And you know what I love they do? They don't pray that they would be safe. They don't go, God, look at all these threats. Please protect us from all of these guys who are ganging up against us. They don't do that. They look at all the threats and everything that's going on and they say, God, give us courage. Isn't that awesome? Don't protect us from it all. Help us to be light in the darkest places. Help us to find more blackness to walk into. Help us to go and not falter when we're faced with this choice, but to stand. Don't make it all cozy and bubble wrapped for us, but help us to stand with courage. They made a choice to stand. Now, I'm sure you've been faced with a lot of choices over the years. I have been faced with many choices of whether I'm going to stand up for what I know God is asking me to do or what I believe in. One of those choices actually happened to me when I first came back from the first Arrow Residential back in October. I'd come back into town, and just because of scheduling, I'd flown in, but my family couldn't come out to get me, so I just grabbed a taxi and came in. And as I was riding in, the taxi driver and I just got to talking. We were just hanging out and having a nice conversation. But through that conversation, he was sharing a lot of his life story and a lot of the brokenness and hurt and loneliness that he was experiencing. He shared with me all kinds of different types of spiritualities he had experimented with over the years. Man, he was telling me about stuff I'd never even heard of. And in that moment, I knew there was a real clear choice. I was tired. I just got off a flight. I was kind of, you know, busy week away. And there was a choice. Are you just going to sit here, listen to his story, and say, wow, that was a great story? Or are you going to interject and tell this guy about the love of Jesus for him? What's it going to be? It was a pretty clear choice that God laid out before me of whether I was going to stand or whether I was going to compromise for what, you know, could be some decent reasons. I was pretty tired. We're called all the time to a choice of whether we will stand or not. But here's the thing. When we stand, when we choose to stand, when we make that decision to actually stand for Jesus, you need to know that Jesus is going to shine through you. If you choose to stand for him, he will shine through you. Check out what happens in this story. We read through a lot of this already. The first thing is, Jesus is going to shine through our... Oh, there we go. Let's skip that. There we go. He's going to shine through our witness. Chapter 4, verse 4. Many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. That was when they were first sharing the story, and then they were getting hauled away and beaten and everything for it. They went and stood because they knew they had to tell people about Jesus. And incredible things happened as they told the story of what Jesus was about. As they explained the resurrection from the dead that Jesus went through and the hope that we have because of that, people responded. Jesus shone through the fact that they chose to be a witness of what they had seen and heard from Jesus. Second thing, Jesus shines through our character. He shines through who we are and who he's making us to be. Chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, you could say they just knew that they had been with Jesus, or maybe they saw something in them that showed them they had been with Jesus. Either way, Jesus shines, and he makes himself known through who we are and who he is making us to be. This was never more clear to me than one day when I was doing chaplaincy over at Peterbilt. And I got to be a little careful because of privacy stuff, but so no names or anything. But I was walking into the branch, and I ran into a guy outside who was just chatting with someone else on a smoke break. And as I was walking in, he stopped me. This is a guy I had never actually had a conversation with other than to get to know what his name was. Okay? Only interaction we'd ever really had. And as I'm walking in, he stops me and he says to me, "I just want you to know how much it means to me that you're around here." And I was kind of like, okay. And he explained a really difficult situation going on in his life. And he said, "You being here has helped keep me off the bottle these last few months." We had never talked about the issue he was struggling with. We had never talked about his struggle with alcohol. None of it. None of it. But because I showed up, God can do something just through my presence. Through who he chooses to make me to be. Jesus will shine through who we are, where he places us to be. When we stand up and actually choose to go there, when we are that little nightlight in the dark room, whether we're saying a whole lot or not, Jesus is going to use us and shine through us. He shines through our character, who he is making us to be. He also shines as he empowers us. So after they go back and they pray, and they pray for courage, not safety. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When we ask God to send his Holy Spirit to empower us and to meet us and to strengthen us and to go out and do the things he wants us to do, man, will he ever shine through us. And he will take us into places we are totally uncomfortable with. And he'll take us into places that we least expect it. And he will use us to bring the hope and life of Jesus Christ to other people. He will do that when we choose to stand and actually ask for that. When we choose to surrender our lives to him and ask him to move in us with his Holy Spirit. He also shines through us through community. This is one of the cool ones I love too. All the believers, so this is after they pray and the Holy Spirit comes. Next verse. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. How do you think that looked to the rest of society? You think they noticed? When we choose to stand for Jesus and he lives in our community as he wants to, man, that's going to look a lot different to the world. He will shine. He will show himself through who we are gathered together. If we choose to stand for him, he will shine through us. The other piece of this is, if we choose to stand for Jesus, Jesus will also stand up for us. Here's what it says. This is what actually Jesus said. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. If you stand up for me in front of other people, I will stand up for you before the Father in heaven and say, I know you. Oh, you guys are still looking at the screen. Is there more? But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. There is a choice. There is a choice. So, let me ask you this morning, where do you think God is asking you to take a stand right now? Where is he asking you to take a stand for him? Maybe it's a space where he's asking you to proclaim that you know him. That you know him and what he has done in your life. And he's asking you to step up, whether with your friends or at work, at school, with your family, whatever the space is. He's asking you to stand and actually give a testimony, to witness to what God has done in your life. Just like Peter and John did. Maybe that's a part of what he's asking you to do. Maybe he's asking you to take a stand in choosing to live like he wants you to live, even though it's incredibly unpopular. And would go against everything society tells you about how you should live. Making a choice to leave stuff behind and go serve God in Africa, just for example. Maybe he's asking you in school to stand alongside someone who is totally shunned and pushed to the outskirts because they're different. Where is God asking you to take a stand? Maybe it's just a simple choice. Well, not a simple choice. But maybe it's as basic as just asking you to trust him right now. To take a stand against your own mind that tells you you should run in the opposite direction and choose to trust God in the midst of whatever it is you're struggling with. And we know there's a lot of struggles going on these days. Maybe it's God calling you to take a stand against temptation and against a recurring theme of sin in your life, where you need to take a stand and say, no more. I will choose to trust Jesus in this place to bring healing in my life and forgiveness, and I will choose to walk his way. Maybe it's something else entirely, but do you know where it is that God is asking you to take a stand? To step out in courage and boldness and not to compromise. You know, one of a very familiar text is in a letter that Paul wrote to a church in the city of Ephesus. And we teach this in Sunday school. I remember learning this in VBS after VBS after VBS about the armor of God. And if you've read this text, you know Paul's talking to this church and he says, listen, our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's not against other people. It's not against the guy down the street who totally cut me off in traffic and I'm really annoyed with now. It's not against him. Our battle is against principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. It's against spiritual forces. And so he encourages us as the church and the church in Ephesus to clothe ourselves with the armor of God, right? There's the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. There's the shoes of being ready with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, right? That's all of them, right? Real quick test. Yeah, we got them all. Okay, good. Nodding heads over here. You guys get gold stars. So clothe yourselves with the armor of God. Why? Do you know what the why is in Ephesians 6? Why are you clothing yourself with the armor of God? What is it so you will be able to do? To stand. When the day of temptation comes, that you will be able to stand. He says it multiple times in the text. Stand, stand, stand. It's not so you're charging into the battle like, you know, sword raised. It's just so you can actually stand. Stand firm in what you know. Stand firm in Jesus Christ. Because the day of temptation will come. The day of opposition will come. The day of choice will come. Be ready so that you will be able to stand. Church, do you hear that? Be ready so you will be able to stand. I don't want to see any of you guys falling. I don't want to see any of you have to walk through the hardship of being broken in that way. I would so rather see you be able to stand. To see Jesus be able to shine through you in the spaces that he's moving in your life. So clothe yourselves with the armor of God so that you will be able to stand. My taxi driver, driving me back into town from the airport, crazy life, crazy stuff. I had the choice of whether or not I'd share with him about the love of God for him in Jesus Christ. And as uncomfortable with that as I am, which is going to sound really weird to you, because I'm a pastor, right? I'm supposed to do that. Like, that's, you know, my thing. One-on-one, I'm pretty, that makes me nervous. But I did it. And we had the most wonderful conversation the rest of the way. I don't know where that's going to take him. I have no idea what God's going to do with that conversation. But I was so thankful that God gave me the opportunity to be able to share his love with someone. I was sitting at Arrow on our last full day this time around, faced with that choice of whether I was going to talk to our whole group about what I was feeling and the personal conviction that I had about my role in it. I was sitting there with the conviction that I was supposed to talk to this other individual about the thing I had dreamt about. And as uncomfortable as it was, and one of the things that happens to me a lot, it happens here sometimes too, is I get really emotional, I get choked up, and I can hardly speak, and I start crying, and it's really embarrassing, and I absolutely hate that about myself. I knew that was going to happen, because it happened even as I was starting to talk to some of our leadership partners about what I thought I was supposed to share with our group. But I put myself on the hook and told them that we really wanted to have this opportunity to do this, and they said, okay. And so they opened up the conversation later that evening. And I had a chance, another guy shared first because I was talking with him about it, and then I shared. And I did cry and break down and was the mess. And I did talk with the other guy, and we had an incredible time of prayer together with a couple of our leadership partners, and he received a whole lot of freedom in Christ that night. And I left, and I was journaling on the plane home and felt the most incredible feeling of peace and contentment. In a week that I had been battling and fighting what was wrong, what was off, God prompted me, and because I chose to stand, it came out at the other end of that with an incredible sense of contentment. And not just contentment, the other thing it brought for me was a deepening trust in God. because I'd actually stepped out where I felt he was asking me to, and instead of falling flat on my face and feeling like this was the dumbest thing I've ever done, even though I felt like a bit of an idiot, he showed me that it was okay. He showed me that if I choose to follow him in some of those promptings, some of the little things he's asking me to do, if I choose to stand with him, that there's incredible blessing that I'll receive that I would never receive otherwise. When we stand in obedience to God, we will be blessed. It may not be easy. We don't sell easy here, just so you know. It's not going to be easy to do. It's probably not going to have easy consequences. But at the end of the day, we will have a deeper sense of the peace of God residing in us. And we will see him do some incredible things. And one day, if we have chosen to speak up for Jesus, he will speak up for us. I want to pray for you today in the places that God is asking you to take a stand. And I don't want to pray for safety or for an easy decision. I want to pray for a brutally hard decision, but that God will give you courage. So let me pray for you. That may not be the prayer you really want for you today, but that's what I'm going to pray for you. All right? Father, I just thank you for the example in Peter and John of choosing to stand in the face of opposition. God, for the places that you are asking us to stand right now, whether against temptation, whether against people, whether against just horrors in our world of just bullying and oppression and evil. Whatever space it is that you're asking us to stand, I pray that you would give each one of us courage to follow you, to choose to stand, to not compromise, to not take the easy way out, to not justify our way out of it, but to choose to stand and to follow you. Lord, fill us again with your Spirit that we would have boldness. We just thank you for that and look forward to the ways that you're going to shine through us as we stand for you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.